All right, 3 o'clock hour on the Hockman and Crowder and Solana program. It's our guy Georgie. Georgie Music on social media, JORGMUZIK. He does our 3 o'clock hour theme song, and we love it every time we hear it. Miami to Boca, McRib in your Boca. Today it's a glizzy in your Boca. National Hot Dog Day is today. Mike Cunio scheduled to join us this hour. I mentioned earlier, so the Panthers' regular season schedule is out. We knew that they were going to open the season on a Tuesday at 5 p.m. Here are a couple of notes from the Panthers themselves on the schedule that was released today. Again, October 7th is the opener, and it's a 5 p.m. puck drop, which means take the day off and get there early. Let's see. Their 2025-2026 schedule is highlighted by the Discover NHL Winter Classic at Lone Depot Park. That is in Miami on January 2nd against the Rangers. That will be the southernmost outdoor matchup in NHL history. Another game of note, Panthers host the first 2025 Stanley Cup Final rematch against the Oilers Saturday, November 22nd. And then the Panthers will visit Rogers Place in Edmonton on Thursday, March 19th. Panthers home schedule features 24 games on either a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. All Thursday contests at the Amerant Bank Arena are scheduled to drop the puck at 7 p.m. Timing of weekend games will be schedule dependent. Florida will not have a game for 20 consecutive days in February due to the Olympic Winter Games, which will feature, they point out, at least four Panthers players already named to their country's preliminary rosters. Barkov will be playing for Finland. Belinskis will be playing for Latvia. Sam Reinhart for Canada and Matthew Tkachuk for the USA. And the Panthers, they point out, will host three early afternoon contests at the Amerant Bank Arena, 4 p.m. Black Friday, day after Thanksgiving. They're going to have a 4 p.m. game against Calgary. And Friday, November 28th, Florida hosts the Columbus Blue Jackets at 3:30. And Saturday, December 6th against Winnipeg. There's some afternoon games as well. So there's your Panther schedule. I did ask Gelb. I don't think a lot of people noticed, other than people in South Florida, that the Panthers opened the season on a Tuesday at 5 p.m. Very interesting, because it seemed to catch Gelb off guard there.
Yeah.
Like, what am I missing here? But it is what it is.
I can usually see the other side and find an answer. But as you ask, like, I've thought about it, like NHL, they're sitting around in their offices. Like, what sense does that make?
I mean, it's crazy. You're throwing away that game. Like, yes. It's not like people across the country are leaving work early to catch the 5 p.m. Panthers opener on a Tuesday night. So it's an interesting statement to say that. Unless the league is saying, hey, the Panthers have been featured so much on national TV. They've been in two Stanley Cup finals in a row. They've got the Winter Classic, which will have all the eyeballs on it. Like, there's no shortage of opportunities to watch the Panthers. You know, let's try to feature another couple of teams on the primetime schedule.
Even that, Hawk, like, if there's nobody that casually watches hockey trying to get into it saying, I don't want to see the champion, let me see the San Jose Sharks play. Like, why don't you show off your champion like other leagues do?
It doesn't make sense. It's a matter of respect. The NFL would never schedule the Eagles to open up the season against whoever they're playing on a Thursday at 1 in the afternoon. Like, it just wouldn't make any sense to do that. The NBA wouldn't schedule the Oklahoma City Thunder to open up their season on a Tuesday at 3. You know, like, the Panthers deserve the primetime slot. People want to see the banner go up. Doesn't make sense not to have them there.
Definitely an interesting situation, but there is no changing it. So October 7th, will be the opener. Let's do headlines here for the 3 o'clock hour. Mike Cunio is going to join us. I asked him to join us while eating a glizzy He threatened to cancel. And so I don't know if he's going to have a glizzy or not. I don't. I can't tell you the last time Mike Cuno has probably had a hot dog. I can't imagine it's any time recent.
Didn't he bring you zucchini biscuits? He's not eating a hot dog.
Yeah, but it's National Hot Dog Day. I mean, sometimes you just got to say, what the hell, no?
When's National Zucchini Biscuit Day? I guarantee we can get it.
We'll be on the air 2, 3, 4, and 5 o'clock.
Zucchini biscuits.
Headlines brought to you by Durrell Volkswagen. Choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Durrell Volkswagen.
When's the last time any of you had a glizzy?
I had one at Wrigley Field.
Oh, that's cool.
In Chicago.
That's awesome.
If I go to a baseball game, I have a hot dog. That's one of the few places. I'm not a big hot dog guy. It's not like, I know Jimmy likes to get them at Costco. A lot of people do like getting a glizzy at Costco.
Yeah.
But like, if I'm at a, like, sometimes they have them on the menu at restaurants.
Yeah.
It would never in a million years. Jackson's, the ice cream parlor, has a glizzy. It's as big as a leg. But I just like, I like sitting and eating a hot dog at a restaurant. It just doesn't jibe for me somehow.
When you go to the bounce houses, the
yes,
off the wall and Air Force and Flying Squirrel,
let me get a hot dog.
Your options are hamburger, which is that little pre-frozen patty, hot dogs, or pizza. So I get hot dog double meat.
You one put two bun, glizzies into one bun?
One bun, two glizzies.
That's foul.
Wow.
What?
That's foul.
Have you ever eat a double burger? You eat a double burger, two pizza pizza. You can't eat a double glizzy?
No. For numerous reasons.
I enjoy it.
Yeah, I bet you do.
I take on all the glizzies.
Yeah, you will.
You don't want just one. You want two dogs. But I don't understand. You can't just sneak in. You eat two pizzas. Like, it's the same as getting a double cheeseburger. Nobody puts one pizza on top of the other and eats it. Like, it's not the same thing. Because you can have two glizzies. You can just eat two glizzies.
Well, I'm part of the fun of the glizzy is the bun. Like, you're taking away half the fun.
Not when you're macro counting.
Well, that's true. Good point. Yeah. I didn't know you were counting your macros.
Yeah, make sure my macros are low.
It's cute.
But I feel like a hot dog, honestly, is a throwaway meal. I don't count it as anything. If I'm at a barbecue and I stand and eat a hot dog, I don't. And then they go, oh, do you want some chicken off the grill or some ribs or whatever? I don't think to myself, oh, I already had something hot dog for me. That's why I always say to Gelb, like, get the dirty water hot dog while you're walking around New York. It doesn't count as anything.
Yeah,
because you're eating and walking and whatever. And so, like, to me, at a baseball game, I set the base of the glizzy. But it's like, okay, now what do we want to eat at this ballpark? I want to try some of their foods.
Right.
So that's why I would never order at a restaurant, because just mentally, it doesn't feel like you're really eating
it. Not anything. A meal. Like a handful of Cheez-Its. I didn't eat.
Right?
Yeah, I just...
It doesn't feel like a sandwich. No. Like, it doesn't feel like an actual meal.
What if you put all that crap on it, though? The chili and the cheese and the onion.
So that, like, remember Solana went to Skyline Chili, and they have the conies, which are like three mini dogs, but they're covered in the chili and the cheese and whatever. Yeah. That probably constitutes a meal. Remember, Solana also got the wieners in Providence. The those disgusting oil-ridden.
And then he went to dinner.
I'm with you though, Hawk. Like, it's like a sculptor lays the foundation before he begins his artwork. Get to a ballpark, you throw down a glizzy.
It has to be the first foundation. Thing you eat at the ballpark. 100%.
Right.
Yeah. Not even a glizzy fan, but to your point, at a baseball game,
just feels right.
It's crazy. Even football games, basketball games.
Nope.
Baseball games, I gotta knock me one down.
Yep. Totally agree.
I would never sit in section 115 as a fan at the Kaseya Center and eat a hot dog.
Isn't that weird? I was just thinking when you said that, I would never eat a hot dog at a basketball game.
No.
What the hell's the difference? Because I was thinking, well, outdoor versus indoor, but you know what? Marlins Park has a roof and I'll eat a glizzy there. So I don't think it's outdoor versus indoor, but there's something about a baseball game.
Even NFL game, I wouldn't. Like, I'm sitting outside of Hard Rock Stadium, even watching Hurricanes football. Sitting out there.
No, I've done a glizzy at Canes games.
Yeah?
I think it might be an outdoor-indoor thing for me.
Hmm. Solana, don't you sip on truly hard seltzers at basketball games?
I don't just sip on them. I throw them down.
Remember, he pretended like he was crushing them, and then we actually watched him do it, and it was like a baby sucking a bottle. Like Lisa, it was like, what's her name? Maggie Simpson?
Yeah, Maggie Simpson.
The baby Simpson.
Yeah, chugging a seltzer a lot harder than chugging a beer. That's a fact. That's right. Just a fact.
And for you, difficult on both counts.
No,
I've seen it. I have video. Stop it.
I'll throw down a brew with the best
of them. Stop it.
The best of them.
And you know, I'm not even a big beer drinker, but at a baseball game, you have to have a glizzy and a beer. I always have a beer at a baseball game.
Yep.
What about peanuts? You a big peanut guy?
I do enjoy peanuts. Got to be in the right mood. I like someone else to buy them and get tired of them and then hand them down to me. That's what happened with Brian Bishop, because he was with us at the Cubs game. I don't want to be the guy who buys the peanuts, but I'm happy to take them off your hands when you're tired of shelling them. And
but then you get all the singles because everybody takes the triples and doubles early.
What's better than the triple peanut? And all the nuts are grown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's like nuts. 2.5, like 3 good sized nuts in the triple. Mm.
Boiled. What? You need them boiled.
Ooh.
No. Oh, my God. So delicious.
It turns my stomach. What do you do with the shells? Are you like you buy a beer, you drink the beer, then you open up the pack of peanuts, you put the shells in the empty cup, or do you do what my dad does? My dad does this at Heat games. It drives me nuts. He just kind of, yeah, he has a big stomach, so he just kind of rips the peanuts open, and whatever happens to the shell happens to the shell.
Well, no, you drop them on the ground.
Yeah, on the ground.
Yeah, but it's messy. Like, you look like a pig. You do.
Then you kick them on that next little level underneath.
On the next
you.
Level. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody knows this.
Everybody does that.
It's the rule.
You take care of your peanut shells in some right sort of fashion. Then what do? You do a project with them. You create something. You
take them like home.
Throw them in a cup, and then throw them out like a good, decent human being. Throw them into the cup and throw them out so that the people.
So
you go get a salty snack
that'll make you thirsty, but you drink all the drink beforehand you can.
Wait, I'm limited to one beverage at this game, Hawk.
You have to have finished a beverage before you start peanuts. That's your rule.
100%.
And it has to be a beverage in a glass. It can't be a bottle.
Well, then. Then that becomes a much harder task.
No, you throw them on the ground.
I mean, honestly, that's what it's made for. That's why they don't sell them at movie theaters and they do at arenas and stadiums.
And they have that nasty ass restaurant where you're supposed to throw it on the ground. Roadhouse
and Five Guys.
Yeah, Five Guys, they have a big bucket of peanuts.
You're not supposed to throw them on the ground at Five Guys, though.
Well, I throw them at the employees.
Roadhouse doesn't do that anymore. Like, they still have the peanuts, they still have the sign outside that says, be careful, you're walking in.
BS what Five Guys does, man. It's such BS. It's like, oh, yeah, we still have the peanuts. They have, like one jar of Planters. it's behind the counter. You got to ask the guy, and then they give you like 3 dishes and 4 peanuts. Like, okay, we got it. You don't want the mess of the peanuts, but you want the respect of a place that gives away peanuts. Pick a side, Five Guys.
Because that's what it was for, right? Like, to keep people occupied while they wait for their food. That was the sole purpose.
Hey, you want to go to the burger place, or you want to go to the burger place that gives away the free peanuts?
Just a little bonus.
I mean, Chili's, you know, they give away the nacho chips. Tortilla, what a bonus. Yeah. Although, Roadhouse, those rolls.
Oh, Roadhouse, that's good food.
Talk about it.
The Chili's salsa is too watery. Need more tomato.
It is. How do you feel about a Mexican restaurant, like Cantina style, that charges for chips now?
It's probably the way of the world, but it seems wrong. But 10 years from now, I have a feeling we'll be charged everywhere for rolls or tortilla chips, whatever they bring.
Nah, if I go to an Italian restaurant, if I go to a restaurant and they don't bring out bread and butter for free, I'm leaving. Mm. I'm leaving. That's not a restaurant to me. Like, let's have a little class. This is a transaction. I sit down. I'm going to buy food. I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to tip you. Give me some rolls for free.
But every receipt now has a certain charge for this and a charge for that. You just don't notice it. But, man, like, I would not be surprised if every place has a starter's charge, bread charge, something along those lines. Yeah.
It's really not a sound business model giving away product.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you want bread? Buy some bread. You don't want bread? Don't buy bread.
Just give me some chips. I'm spending $50-$60 here at your
But that's how I feel. Restaurant. You know how I feel chips. About the lemon in the water. Hey, you want to save money, restaurant? Stop putting a lemon wedge in my water that I'm not interested in. I have no interest in this lemon wedge. You want to save money and give me free bread? Stop giving everybody lemons. He wants a goddamn lemon.
I love my citrus.
No.
I really do.
In your water?
The lemon or lime in the water, it just gives it a little flavor. It's still healthy. It's hydrating. Vitamin C. Nobody I like my vitamin
order
C.
Order a lemon if you want citrus.
I like the idea of me liking the citrus in my water, but there's nothing that drives me more nuts than you get to a hotel or you're anywhere. You're at like a place and they're offering free water and you go and you pour the water into a glass, you take a sip, and they have orange flavoring slices
in
the water.
Cucumber water.
Oh, the cucumber water. Oh.
I mean, please, for the love of God, who invented that? What terrorist came over here and said, here's how we'll get them. We're going to start throwing cucumber slices in the water at fine hotels. What?
It's supposed to help with gut health.
I don't need a Bonvoy to help me with my gut health. Hey, give me a refreshing water and a nice comfy mattress.
A little turmeric, a little lime. What?
Got an email from Len, our program director. It says NFL training camps open this week. Perhaps he's listening to the show right now trying to redirect it.
Well, as your sports leader, I
this
feel
is what
obliged.
Ryan McGuire got mad at, Len, talking about hot dogs and sandwiches. You've reached the Ryan McGuire level of anger at me.
Leave
happens
my
to
Len
everyone.
Alone.
Happens you, to the best of them.
You leave my Len alone. Talk to Len this morning.
As the sports leader of radio in Miami, I do feel obliged to provide you some sort of sports headlines.
All right.
So here you go. The All-Star game happened yesterday. And I don't even know who won. I was checked out. I don't care. The swing off, everybody loved it. And NL did win. And Schwarber, who went 0-for-2 at the plate in the game, was your MVP of the All-Star game.
Well, why ignoring what he did in the swing off?
I'm not ignoring it. Hit three
well,
ding-dongs.
He went 0-for-2, but he also hit three home runs in the swing off to win the All-Star game.
Yeah. 0-for-2 during the game, though.
The swing off is part of the game.
Mm-hmm. Inter Miami, they're at Cincy tonight, and it looks like Rodrigo de Paul is leaving Atletico Madrid, and he will be the newest member of Inter Miami. It's not confirmed yet, and the club hasn't announced it yet. But Fabrizio Romano, he's the big soccer reporter, said that it's all but done. And if you follow my brother, he reported on it a week ago, according to his sources as well.
He actually has decent soccer sources. I hate to admit this, he puts stuff out there before anybody does. And most of the time, it turns out to be correct.
He has a soccer. He really does. So there's a reporter that was giving him grief on Twitter the other day after he reported this. And it's funny because the guy's saying, you don't really have sources, like leave the journalism to the pros. And there's a part of that I agree with. But my brother actually knows one person who is genuinely very well connected in the soccer world, which is where he gets all his information.
Well, he gets info. I don't think he's just making it up.
One other note from the Panther schedule before we head to break. By the way, the Oilers visit Sunrise for the first time since losing again on November 22nd. And the Panthers and Brad Marchand go back to Boston for the first time together on October 15th.
All right.
Your weather, 88 degrees. Tonight, the lows are going to drop into the 70s. That's your weather.
All right. Mike Cugno, maybe with the glizzy, maybe not. Maybe with a snack wrap. I don't know. Who the hell knows what Cugno is doing? Mike Cugno is going to join us in the next segment. Do not go anywhere.
You're listening to the Hawk, Crowder, and Solana Show.
50% of the time I stay in hotels, I clog the toilet.
Jimmy, where is Cugno calling us from? We're going to talk with Mike Cugno here. What hot dog place is he at, Jimmy? You talked to him before the segment.
He doesn't seem he's at a hot dog place.
What?
Seems like he's at home.
What? Well, what is going on here? This seems... False bill of goods here.
Gotta know your friends.
Man. Well, Mike Cugno's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. You can watch him locally on CBS4 and nationally on CBS Sports HQ. And he will return this season as the sideline reporter on CBS4's Dolphins preseason broadcast, which is very exciting. Cugno, I think Jimmy got that wrong. Where are you calling us from? Where are you having the hot dog today on National Hot Dog Day?
Jimmy seems like the only one on the program that understands me and gets me. So I think all of a sudden I'm Team Jimmy.
Mike, I told him an hour ago your ass ain't eating no hot dog. I know you.
I mean, remember, Mike used to do stuff for the show, though. He used to care about the show. And then all of a sudden, he's on HQ, and he's doing Dolphin sidelines. All of a sudden, he's a different guy.
Yeah, I'm big-timing you now. That's what it is. I mean, yeah. you finally cornered me to get me back on. I'm going to big-time you a little bit here.
Yeah, I mean the guy, you know, in his earlier days in broadcast, you know, he would call me and he would go, listen, this Jim Barry is eating up all my airtime. Can you get me on the radio at least? True. And I think I can wedge you in if you'll eat a McRib or something. And he's like, whatever you need, because I know Jim Barry won't do that. So whatever you need.
I had to deal with a week's worth of guilt trips because I've been so busy with work, I haven't been able to come on. But he's sending me clips of Joe Z. He's sending me clips of Omar Kelly at various establishments around, like, just like, see, they're doing it.
You're like, oh, real true friends of the show. Here's right. Omar Kelly drinking like Slurpee on 7-Eleven on Pina Colada.
I've poisoned my body enough for you over the years. Fry at a Panther game. That's all you get.
The snack wrap was reintroduced. Cugno wouldn't go to McDonald's for us. I figured hot dog day. Can you boil up a hot dog there at home then? I'm sure you have hot dogs there, right?
Boil a hot dog?
Well, I mean, you can't grill it, right? Yeah. What are we going to do?
Why can't I grill one? Was that impossible?
It just doesn't feel like you're a guy who would fire up the grill at a moment's notice. It seems like you'd have a whole procedure.
Oh, my God. I grill like 4 times a week.
You do?
Yeah.
What about a zucchini dog?
What's that?
A zucchini dog or something like that.
Zucchini dog was my nickname in high school.
I bet it was. All right. Well, Mike Cugno disappointing us, not calling from. Because we asked you to get one of the roller dogs at 7-Eleven. When's the last time you met Hot Dog Cugno?
I will never... I don't know. It's been a while, but I will never do the roller dogs again. I've told you the story in Tallahassee buying the 2 for $1 from like the Shell gas station roller dog because you're like your broke college. I can't go back to that. I can't.
Mm-hmm. Upgraded, Hawk.
Well, roller glizzy. I mean, the old Cuño I used to know. Knock down a couple of glizzies, wash it down with a shamrock shake. I don't even know this guy anymore.
Never happened. Never. None of that ever happened.
I don't even know this guy. Now he's showing up at Panthers games with a Tupperware full of zucchini muffins.
We had to catch him at Florida State.
I would have eaten a Tupperware at Florida State had you asked me. Like, you guys just missed the boat altogether.
You know, Solana counts as macros. Do you count macros?
No, I used to do that stuff, but you got kind of get into a rhythm of what's what, and then you don't have to count it. So you just eat a whole lot of protein and move on with your day. I don't want to look at an app every time I have a meal.
It's pretty lame, huh?
He likes, what does he like? Microgreens? Is that what
he drinks microgreens and omega-3 eggs, free range.
Yeah. You ever have an omega-3 egg?
I don't know what that is.
It's just a cage-free egg, Mike. I mean, these guys are...
And were we caging eggs before? Were they going to escape? What are we doing?
Microgreens are a great source of fiber. For the last time.
But I think Mike brings up a great point. It's a cage-free chicken. I don't think we call it a cage-free egg because
those eggs are quick. Yeah.
That's why you think the price went up this year on eggs. They're escaping.
Well, that's up for debate. I mean, that could go either way. Cuño, so again, he's going to be doing the Dolphin sidelines for the preseason on CBS4. Do we know, we were talking about this with a couple of analysts, are the Dolphins one of the great unknowns this season where they could just as easy be a playoff team as they could just as easy be the cellar dwellers in their own division? Like, do we have any idea going into the season what they're going to be?
Okay, so this is kind of the way I look. Like, when I talk about a floor with the Dolphins, the way I look at it is what we saw last year with Tua in there and Tua out. So the combination of that was 8 wins. So I think, in my mind, you start at about just Tua being there is going to, like, for an entire season, you can put your floor somewhere right around 7 or 8 wins. So that to me, and then what happens next, whether they could figure out the offense, obviously the offensive line, there's going to be some changes there. That's where I go. So that's why I don't see this team being a bad football team. Like, I'm not, like, I don't think they're like a 4-win team. I'm just not going to buy that. I think they're more, it's more like, are you going to get 8-9 Miami Dolphins, or is the ceiling going to be a little higher from there? That's where I kind of put their baseline, because they are getting a lot of, look, Minka Fitzpatrick being back there at safety is certainly going to help, but the defensive line is going to look a lot better this year. Not so many injuries coming into the season. So I just don't see them as one of these, you know, polarizing teams in terms of the number of wins.
And Mike, you bring up the O-line, and I'm with you, you know, Armstead retiring and bringing in young guys. I can't say his name. I'm not going to try the second-round pick. But my biggest question is cornerback. Like, if I'm another team going into a game and it's Kader, Kohu, and Storm Duck, I'm not running the ball very much. Is that the biggest concern, or is it another position?
No, I mean, no, you're right. It is. It is the biggest question mark. We'll see if they can find a veteran sometime between now and then, maybe even trade for one. But that's why I think that, you know, having Sheeler there and Chop and Jalen and Bradley, having that unit healthy and getting to the quarterback, to me, that's going to help so much. And you really, you know, I think we kind of forget the, you know, what Bradley Chubb was adding. The year, you know, he was healthy when it was him, Sheeler, Jalen for most of the year before he got hurt, like, he was an 11 sack guy. He was either first or second in the team in tackles for a loss that year too. Like, that was a lot of production you lost with Bradley Chubb and Jalen being out. So that obviously would help that would help on the back end with those corners in terms of time to throw, obviously. But you still need some dependable guys. So they do have to figure that out. That is the biggest question mark going into camp. There will be camp battles, and we'll see if they can find someone maybe on the market that they can plug and play immediately.
Hey, what about offensively? What's the identity going to be in your mind, Cuño? Is it going to be in 2023? Because I know we've done, and the Dolphins have been talking about, they're trying to change, you know, the culture inside the locker room, and they're trying to be a tougher team. And they can say what they want to say, but when they start playing games, are they going to try to really be a more run first team? Or is this just going to end up being the track meet that we saw in 2023 because, hey, Tyreek should be healthy, Waddle should be healthy, and hopefully Tua's healthy for 17?
So that is my number one question going into this year, is what the offensive identity will be. Because, look, last year they even told us, like, and, you know, Mike McDaniel said at times, like, even Tyreek was saying, hey, we need to be a little bit more balanced on offense in terms of the way we attack teams. To me, if you have two of the fastest guys in the NFL on the outside, use two of the fastest guys in the NFL on the outside. And then, you know, what Devon Achane can give you out of the backfield in terms of, you don't know whether he's going to run the ball or be a pass catcher, and we know all the motion and stuff they do. If you can figure that out, that part of the offense out again like you did in 2023, I'd much rather see them go that way, because sometimes using that threat to set up the run isn't bad. We saw Raheem Mostert set a Dolphins franchise record in terms of touchdowns that year, and a lot of it's coming out of the backfield. So to me, I just think you just lean into your most talented players. Use them. And to me, that's where I would go in terms of finding an identity. It seems so simple. I know it's not. The NFL, like, there's a lot of moving parts. But if it were me, I would go back to more of the track meet style, get those guys going. Even Malik Washington, I mean, he had packages last year where you saw some flashes of that speed. I just like what they have at wide receiver. And until they can tell me that and show me they can run the ball, just lean on those guys.
Yeah, I'm with that. Who do you think they're closer to, being the team that they were in 2023 or being the team that we saw last season? Because I've made the case to Crowder and Solana and Jimmy that, hey, ignore last year. Like, only worry mm-hmm. about 2023 when Tua was healthy. Whatever you saw last year was, to me, an aberration. I expect them to look like they looked in 2023. Which one do you think is the closer to this team being this season?
I'm going to say they're closer to 2023, but I'm going to caveat this, because last year, that was just frustrating. That was just a frustrating year because of the injury at quarterback, him in and out of the lineup. So then that's why I said, like, that's, to me, that's the baseline. If that's how bad it's going to be again, you know, this team's going to be, I think, at worst, 7 wins. But there were just so many times that season, 2023, where it looked like opposing defenses just had no answers. And then there was times where some teams seemed to figure it out, like the Baltimore Ravens. It's find the middle ground of whatever 2023 was. It's not the 70 points, and then it's not the team that, you know, went into Baltimore and got blasted. It's somewhere in the middle where you're seeing a lot of production, where you're seeing Tua being, look, that year Tua was the number one passer in the league in terms of yards, and he was top five in terms of touchdowns. You're 29 that year. But he's got to be somewhere in that 1 to 8 range for this offense, to me, to be clicking at what we remember seeing in 23.
And Mike, speaking of Tua, it runs through him. The team, I don't say the offense, the team runs through him. If they don't get to, you know, mid-20s, you know, high 20s, 30s, like, I don't think they're going to win, you know, choke teams out defensively. But is our concern of the backup quarterback something bigger this year because of what we saw with Tim Boyle and Huntley and all those guys last year? Like, when Zach Wilson gets in the game now, you really have to pay attention, don't you?
Yeah, so think about this. So last year, in terms of passing plays of 20 or more air yards, the Dolphins had 10 all season. And that was, I believe that was tied for 31st in the league, where the year before they were first. So, and you can see even Tua, his air yards last year took a bit of a dip. That's why I think like he's got, the offense has to go back to that 2023 style, and having your quarterback room, your backup quarterback room set, you know that these are the guys, you know, you're not going back and forth, or all of a sudden in the end of July or mid August, you got to find a new guy. No, the fact that these guys are going to be in it, and, you know, Zach Wilson has experience as a starter in this league, you feel a little bit better about that stuff and maybe trust it. Look, if Quinn Ewers it gets in there at any point, something terrible has gone wrong, right? To like two quarterbacks have gone down. You probably feel better.
Zach Wilson's no good, which is a possibility.
But at least you've seen him start NFL games before.
Well, that's why I say maybe he's no good, because I've seen him.
Right. I know. But at least there was some plan to address it this year, where last year it felt like it was just kind of like trying to play catch up the entire time something bad happened at the quarterback position.
Gugno, what did you think of the swing off to end the All-Star game last night?
Thank you for asking, because Solana tried to sneak in a really bad, really bad take in the middle of the night. I thought it was great. My only hang up on it was that Mr. Boone, pick someone else to hit home runs on that line, because we needed to see it come down to the last guy. That's my only gripe.
Well, do you know why he was forced to pick who he was forced to pick?
Did some guys just like hit the showers and leave? Am I making that up?
Just hit the showers. We're literally on airplanes. Aaron Judge was on an airplane. Like, everyone left. Yeah. The real stars play the first couple of innings because they start, and then they get out of there so they can have a little modicum of a vacation before the league starts back up again.
But that was, you know, it was great. It's a great idea, and I love it. But there are certain guys across the league that just seem built for that kind of stuff. Schwarber and Pete Alonso would be top of my list in terms of who would you want to have a swing off. I would choose those two guys in any top five for a swing off ever. I loved it. I thought it was great. And I'm also happy that Stowers was able to contribute there in that spot, because everyone around the country is probably like, who's this Stowers guy? But we've been watching him hit 19 home runs for the first half of the season. We knew he had the power to do it.
Solana doubled down on it in the 2 o'clock hour. I mean, maintains it was awful.
I just didn't love it the way everybody else loved it. Cuño, everybody, I texted Hawk before I even looked at Twitter. I was telling Hawk, man, like, I don't think this is good. I don't think this is fun. And then I go to Twitter and I'm expecting the same reaction, and I literally can't find a single person who didn't like it. Everybody's talking about
the entire night.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody's talking about it being like the best thing that's ever happened in sports. And I didn't have that reaction. I didn't feel that way.
You got to look at it through the prism of baseball, who has traditionally messed up this game by having ties and all of a sudden calling games. Like, they have, over the last couple of years, they have made adjustments to the game itself, whether it's extra innings, whether it's the pitch clock, whether it's the robotic umps that are coming into play. This was just another thing that baseball fans, young and old, can point to and go, this was a cool way to end this. So that, did you see the last out of the game, dude? That little check swing where the ball didn't leave the batter's box? Like, how can the All-Star game end in a 6-6 tie on that? So, like, to me, that's why they needed something. That would have been the most anticlimactic finish to an All-Star game after the way that AL came back, in that they were down 6-0. And for it to end on that little check, foul ball, whatever, would have been a disaster. So look at the prism of the changes baseball has made, and you just put this in the win column for what they've been doing.
You call it a disaster. I would have called it spectacular, because it means I could have gone to bed earlier instead of watching a bunch of guys take
you
deep.
You were watching it. You literally only tuned it out because I texted you. I texted you that there's a dong off. Like, you, I mean, that's the only reason.
Yeah, I didn't watch a single minute of the All-Star game, Mike. I didn't even know about the check swing. That does sound ridiculous.
Oh, my God. You see,
that's what I'm saying. You're arguing with,
A little context, buddy. You know, like, man, you're so good at this, like that you're perfect for this. Is why you win these awards from Miami Times, because you could just swoop in with a hot take, not have seen an entire game, and just, you know, you zigged when everyone zagged.
Guy told us Julian Hill was going to be the next great tight end for the Dolphins.
Could be.
I've got Reed. Cuno today. He will not say a bad word about Zach Wilson or Julian Hill. This dude is excited for his sideline.
Darren Waller. I'm trying to get him
to take a shot at Jim Barry. I'm giving him easy targets. He's passing on all of them. The only thing he wants to attack is glizzies.
Yeah. See, I know how to bob and weave. Giving you the old rope-a-dope.
I'm giving you
the rope-a-dope while still getting airtime, which is just beautiful. Like, this is like, you think
you have an air fryer? Someone texts in that you could air fry a hot dog.
I used to have an air fryer, and then it crapped out on me, which was a disaster, because I used to, my old go-to candy was, you dice up a little mango, put some chili powder on it, and dry a mango in there, and like.
A mango kick lately. Funny that you say mango. When's mango out of season? Because I am on a major mango.
It's getting there. Yeah. If it isn't already. Yeah.
It's never really out of season, though. You just go to Publix, you buy some mango.
Can you get mango all year long?
All year long.
Yeah, you can. But that's not candy, Mike. That's a dried mango. Don't call that candy.
You get the right mango, though. It is almost like candy. The right mango at the heart of mango season is almost like eating a Snickers bar.
Not ridiculous.
It's the same thing.
Almost.
Caramel comes out of it and everything.
And Hawk, you better quit trying Jim Barry. Jim Barry ain't no easy win now.
Oh, no. Listen, I used to have Jim Barry on the show till Cuno stole his slot, and now all of a sudden won't do any of the fun stuff that he promised.
Who, me or Jim? Is this how Jim got off doing this? Is that how he got out of it?
Pretty much. Yeah. For whatever reason, I could not get Jim Barry to agree to go get an Orange Julius while talking about the Panthers preseason.
To pick this man's brain a little bit more.
See you, Cuno. We love you.
Love you too.
Hey,
Mike Cuno. I do love him. I really do.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
I gave up squirrel meat.
Oh, good for you. That'll be tough to keep.